first reading is from the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 29. This prophecy to the people who are now in exile. Jeremiah spent the first part of his ministry telling people, if you don't get your act together, it's not going to turn out well. And he was right, it didn't. Jerusalem was destroyed. The people were taken into exile. And then he doesn't wag his finger and say, "Nah, nah, 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 I told you so." But he tries to deliver good news. Let us listen for God's word. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. And the second reading is from Luke's Gospel in chapter 17. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Has America ever been more divided than it is today? Could the answer be yes and no? On the yes side of the ledger, there have been times in our history when our divisions involved war and violence. So if you go to the Episcopal Church in Shrewsbury on the corner there, 35 and Sycamore, there are bullet holes in the tower there from the Revolutionary War. We were trying to kill each other not that long ago, 2.5 centuries ago. Some loyal to the British Crown, us rowdy Presbyterians in full-scale rebellion. We had a civil war. Over 500,000, some say closer to 1 million Americans were killed in that conflict. And look around here, most of us were alive in the 1960s when a president was killed, when a candidate for president was killed, when a religious and civil rights leader was killed, and when many of our cities burned in flames and were engulfed in riots. You can make the case that there have been more divided times in our country than today. What makes today's division different is the explosion of communication technology, cable television and social media and the like. And with the desire to find media that reinforces our point of view, we have created alternative mental universes where we share the same physical space, but we occupy polar opposite mental universes at the same time. And that is just a really hard space to be in, isn't it? You know, it wasn't that long ago that Americans trusted their institutions and each other and saw ourselves as united amid our differences against a common enemy, the Soviet Union. And today, Russia is seen by some as more of a friend than our own institutions. Sometimes I think we see our biggest enemy as one another. Governing norms and the restraints of a system of checks and balances established by our ancestors are jettisoned in pursuit of ideological victory. Compromise, essential for democracy, essential for any relationship, is seen as a dirty word. It seems as though we can agree on nothing. If the other side is for it, then our side's against it. It seems that we've lost any appetite for the pursuit of something like truth, which might challenge us all to change into sacrifice. We give our allegiance to propaganda and jingoism. Listening, true back and forth, has gone away. And we just put out our acontextual talking points in an effort to win the day. And we're sold out to a game of win-lose. And I think in that kind of game, we all lose. So my question, what is the spiritual response to our reality? And I would suggest that it begins with a deepening of our inner awareness and presence, which alone can enable us to transcend our dividedness. If we allow our anxieties, our anger, our resistance to what is going on among us to run the show, then our actions are going to be reactive and uncreative, just creating more of the same. So my question, can we let go of our resistance and our dualisms and learn a new way? The word from Jeremiah was to let go of resistance and complaining about what was happening and to embrace life in the present. And there was a lot to resist and to complain about. I mean, the people had been defeated, destroyed, and taken into exile. And if you've ever read Psalm 137, it's a psalm of complaint and resistance to that very reality. It's one of the most beautiful psalms and also one of the most troubling in the Bible. 137, you can look it up, as Casey Stengel used to say. And one of the lines is, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? They're confessing that our hearts are broken. How can we be with this reality? Our faith is sucked out of us. And then it ends with anger. And the last line of that psalm is, happy shall they be who take the little ones of the Babylonians and dash them against the rocks. remember the first time I read that psalm, I said, whoa. So, I think what that psalm does, it says, we have to take this stuff to God. Just as I had to close the door yesterday afternoon and let go, feel welcome. I got to tell you, I wasn't really happy. That's what we do with our resistance and our complaints. We take it to God so that we can let it go and live not from that reactivity, but from the presence and the love of God for everyone. Popular spiritual teacher Eckhart Tolle writes, "Inner resistance to whatever arises in the present moment pulls you back into unconsciousness. Inner resistance is some form of negativity, complaining, fear, aggression, or anger. This is important because whenever you complain about what somebody else does, you're already beginning to fall into that trap of unconsciousness." Now, I watch this happen in me, right? My bet is I'm not the only one. You can watch these energies arise in you, right? And they're natural human energies. These just happen. So don't judge yourself for feeling it. The work is, what do you do with it? And if you nurture it and go with it, you just watch it begin to take over you. It's like you are a passive recipient of an energy that is possessing you. That's why our spiritual ancestors used to talk about demonic possession. Whether it's a literal demon or not, it's not the point. The point is, at that moment, you're not running the show. These energies are running the show in you. And in those moments where I'm able to let go and feel a connection with Christ, there's not a reactivity. There's an ability to be present with an energy of love and a desire to understand, which is not to say to give up any sort of perspective you have. It's just not to be controlled by that. And I believe that's really what Jeremiah was saying to his people. He was saying, you can be in resistance and complaint forever, or you can choose another way. And he says, you don't like where you're at, but here's the word of the Lord. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Raise families. Embrace your life. Work for the welfare of where you are right now. Because all you have is here and now. Learn to be with the present reality in an energy of trust and love. So that's Jeremiah, his word to us perhaps this morning about dealing with our own resistance, our own natural complaining. And Jesus, I suggest, teaches us today how to let go of our dualistic mental habit. So he heals 10 lepers. And one returns to give thanks. That's a Samaritan. Do you ever wonder why in the Gospels the stories are always that the enemy becomes the hero? You see, Samaritans and Jews were enemies. But in Jesus' world, they were not. So another question, who is your enemy? Dig into this mental exercise if you want to experience inner freedom. So notice the disgust in our language about each other. Trumpers. Libtards. Snowflakes, apologists, and it goes on and on and on. I'm just telling you stuff that's PG, right? So, if the Gospels were telling this story today, the hero would be your enemy, whoever that is. The one who would return would be the trumper or the libtard. Don't we get it? Jesus was after a complete transformation of our consciousness. One that goes beyond dualisms and enemies. And I'm going to share one other quote from Eckhart Tolle about this kind of need for a new consciousness beyond dualisms and our identification. He writes, "There are people who have renounced all possessions but have a bigger ego than some millionaires. If you take away one kind of identification, the ego will quickly find another. It ultimately doesn't matter what it identifies with as long as it has an identity. Anti-consumerism or anti-private ownership would be another thought form, another mental position that can replace identification with possessions. Through it, you could make yourself right and others wrong. As we shall see later, making yourself right and others wrong is one of the principal egoic mind patterns, one of the main forms of unconsciousness." Are we unconscious or what? In other words, the content of the ego may change. The mind structure that keeps it alive does not. Tolle and Jesus are saying exactly the same thing. It's not about having the right ideas and the right content. And we've taught ourselves that being Christian is about having the right ideas and the right content. No, no, no. It's about changing our mental structures, the very ones that keep us identified and in conflict. So the invitation from this morning's scripture are to learn how to let go of our resistance, let go of our dualistic mental habit, our identification with an identity that makes us right and others wrong, and to live, practice living in gratitude and acceptance every moment. That doesn't mean you don't do anything. You may choose to protest and get arrested, okay? Whatever you feel called to do, just do it in an energy of grace. Then, if we practice, we humans might get somewhere new. What Jesus called the kingdom of God. May it be so. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.